Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Get ready. Hart and Cattles are about to go live on your radio, covering Boston sports and beyond.
So what's the likelihood AB gets back in Tampa?
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
You're a liar.
There you go.
There's no room.
Maybe one day I will be an owner and I can make all the decisions that I want.
You know, it's probably not enough money, but...
Hey, I'm still in great shape.
It's just not going to happen. It's not a fit here.
Hi, I'm Tom Effing Brady.
A few moments later.
My understanding is a deal between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Antonio Brown is very close to happening.
Stay free, me grandma!
Pick the right man, dumbass host.
And it all starts right now. Hart and Cattles on EEI.
All right, so we do want to get to Cam or Jimmy G. We will eventually get there. But last segment, we took a phone call from a Mike in Maine, and things went off the rails immediately. We went to Mike. There seemed like there was some confusion. Mike sounded like he didn't think he was on the actual air with us and was telling somebody that he had called the radio station. It was a mess. So, what happened during the break is that Mike in Maine called us back to try to, you know, let us know what actually happened and why the phone call went off the rails immediately. There were people texting in about recreational marijuana. There was some concern for Mike's well-being. So, we need to get to the bottom of this. Mike in Maine, what the hell was that?
Mike, turn your radio down.
Oh, boy.
Mike, you're 0-2.
Eamon, can you put him on hold? Eamon, put him on hold.
I hate Mike.
Eamon, can you put him on hold?
Mike, you suck. Mike, unless you drive me down some holy donuts from Maine right now, you're never coming on this show again. What is he doing? Like... You know, Eminem says you got one opportunity. We gave him two effing opportunities.
We gave him a second chance.
And what is he, 80?
He's still on. I literally just listened to him set him up on his radio, and he still didn't say anything.
There's a reason why hosts tell you to turn your phone down, because there's a delay.
Radio, so, but yes.
You're talking to us, right? Like, what are we doing here, Mike? Mike, bring us some holy donuts or don't ever call again. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm done with Mike. You can let Mike know that we're moving forward.
We're not looking back. We're like, oh, Jesus, he's freaking calling. I can see it lighting up. Last call, 10 seconds ago.
Yeah, Mike, we're done, okay? We love you, but we're done.
No, love you. We hate you.
This phone call's not going to happen.
We're going to put this in the Radio Hall of Fame.
This right now is, it's winning us a Marconi.
Stop calling, Mike!
It's winning us a Marconi.
Block his number. Do whatever you got to do. Block him.
Listen, he's still calling because he's still on delay, so he hasn't heard this part yet. Maybe he'll stop calling when he eventually gets us. What a bleep show. Should we go to the calls? That's my question.
Sooner or later, we are due to hit a good call. So I am a glutton for punishment. I'll bang. You know how they say Bill won't run the ball just to run the ball, won't run his head into a brick wall?
Right.
I will run my head into a brick wall. So bring up another brick wall. Go ahead, Amy.
Okay, my fingers are crossed. Bill in Framingham.
Let's go, brick wall Bill.
What's up, Bill?
Hey, guys. I just want to start off by saying I'm a Brady over Belichick guy 100%. I think it's all because of Tom Brady. So if Tampa Bay wins the Super Bowl and the Patriots don't make the playoffs, that's my sports nirvana for this year. But let me ask you a question. Sure. How does a team, as humiliating, awful, terrible franchise as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, how are they able to sign your $30 million a year quarterback, have the three best wide receivers in football, sign Gronkowski for $10 million, sign all their draft picks, and get Antonio Brown with the New England Patriots, who have sold out every seat for the last 20 years, been to the Super Bowl 9 times and won 6 of them. They don't have a wide receiver. They don't have a tight end. And they're arguably, to me, probably the bottom 5 worst teams in the league right now. How does that happen?
That took an ugly turn.
Bottom 5.
We can get to that list in a little while.
Yeah.
There's a salary cap. So this isn't baseball where, you know, you can kind of just spend. There is a salary cap. And the Patriots could have signed AB. He signed for just over the veteran minimum. A lot of teams could have signed him. I think you're holding history dating back to the 70s against the Bucs. Whereas looking at them here and now, they've drafted relatively well. They've drafted some really nice young players, a couple wide receivers who are among the best in the game. Now, some of that is because you pick high, because you did have down seasons. It's like our guy Scheim, midday producer. He was watching the Lions play the other day, and he said, how come the Lions can get a guy like TJ Hawkins in to catch a touchdown like that, but the Patriots can't? So I immediately replied, because he went in the top 10 picks in the draft. If you draft a top 10 tight end, he's usually pretty good. If you draft Mike Evans in the top 10, you're probably going to get a really good receiver.
Yeah.
So, yes, historically, I believe the Bucs have the worst winning percentage in the history of football. Historically. But right now, they've put together a decent core of players. And in the NFL, anybody can sign anybody with the cap and the TV contracts and the way that all works.
Yes. And listen.
But he's angry. I like it.
Tampa, he,
bottom
first of
five
all,
franchise the Patriots are right now.
Yeah, that's...
Well, that took a turn.
That's crazy talk. You know, WFTs, yeah.
They're
New
no
York
worse
Giants,
than seventh.
Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, but, Bill, first of all, I commend you because you were a good call. So thank you for breaking the awful streak we had.
Clearly he's not from Maine.
That's true. And by the way, texters from the 678, Mike in Maine, the AB of callers can't do right. From the 207, just to let you know, guys know, not all of us from Maine are brain dead. From the 978, don't torture
debatable
us anymore with that dummy. So people were a little excited about the Mike in Maine phone calls.
But I will say, historically, in my experience as a producer in a few years, Maine is easily the worst state that our callers come from. Like,
now,
not
Eamon,
even close.
Eamon, why would you... Here's the thing.
Everybody
from
Maine calling right
cue
now.
Cue the calls from Maine.
Now I have a beef with Eamon. Eamon, why would you do that to us?
Just like, kicking a hornet's nest
you,
here on a fine Saturday morning.
You don't have to deal with all the texts. You don't have to deal with the callers being angry at Andy and I now because somebody on this show...
I have to deal with them before you guys have to
deal
with
them. Yeah, make sure you screen all those out. Give them your personal cell.
You could easily just pick up the phone and say, okay, and then put them on hold.
Yeah, I've seen that. It takes him less than a second to dismiss a caller. Mike, he called like the last 5 times, less than a second.
My former radio life, I was screening calls and being a producer way back when. So I know how that job goes. But to get back to Bill in Framingham and his point about Tampa Bay, let's also not forget that this is a team that really had nothing to lose. So the idea of paying a quarterback that is going to be 43 years old, the kind of money that they paid him and guaranteed him, there weren't a lot of teams that were willing to do that. There really weren't. I mean, we can look at this market, and now, you know, everybody's trying to make the market of Brady sound and look a lot better, but give me a break. I mean, you looked at this, and there weren't teams that were clamoring for him. There wasn't a huge market for him. So Tampa was in a position to say, what do we have to lose? Like, we can bring in Brady, and if he's great, we look like one of the smartest teams in the history of the league. If he stinks, who cares? We're Tampa. We've stunk. Like, almost our entire existence, we have been wretched at the game of football. So they were in a much different situation than New England at this moment in time. And as Andy brought up, we can sit there and say, oh man, look at the dream team that Tampa's put together. Well, there's a reason why they're able to put that dream team, quote unquote, together, because lots of years of bad football. You know, would you rather have what the Patriots had the past two decades, or would you rather have what Tampa had the past two decades and have 2020? I would much rather have the last two decades than what Tampa is having this year. It's in a vacuum. Bill Belichick, whether you, and I'm not sitting here telling you that he's got great weapons. I'd be an idiot if I sat here and said, oh yeah, he's loaded this team up. He hasn't. But we've known Belichick for 20 plus years. We understand, Andy, his philosophy. His philosophy is, whether it's boring or not, it's about the 53. And I want balance on my roster. I want to spread the wealth. I don't want to devote X amount of money to one position. All those kinds of things come into play. When he looks at the big puzzle, he's not looking at just one position, one spot. He's looking at the entirety of the football team. And he says, yeah, you know what? I might not have great weapons on offense, but I have arguably the best secondary in the league. That's how he's looking at it.
Yeah, I would say the one retort to that, the negative side of that, is I do believe that's what he looks for. He doesn't have that right now. I think you can argue
he doesn't have what?
A breadth of talent across his roster. You can point out the secondary. Yeah, they're good. Linebacker
sucks. I just
wanted
to make sure what you were saying.
Linebacker sucks, D-line sucks, tight end sucks, wide receiver sucks. You have four position groups that I think each individually is among the worst in the NFL at that group. And some of it is circumstantial. You'd look a little better if Dante Hightower were here.
I'm not talking about this year. I'm talking about, again, I'm talking about his overall philosophy and what we've seen over 20 years. There's no debating that this year they need a tight end. This year they need a wide receiver. This year the defensive line is thin. Maybe if Bo Allen gets off of the back of the milk carton, you know, maybe he'll help the defensive line. There's no question that there are some problems at linebacker. But I would also say, you know, we didn't know about COVID-19 having this long-lasting of an effect. And I'm sure Belichick, you know, hindsight's 20/20, Andy. But if you go back to March, if Belichick thinks that this thing is going to last as long as it's going to last, and there's going to be no rookie camps and all that kind of stuff, I don't know if Belichick would have put as many eggs in the draft basket as he did this year. You know, it's rather obvious to me that he did look at the holes of this team, because look at what he did in the draft. He drafted two tight ends. He drafted two linebackers. He looked at some of those holes. I don't know if he was banking on the draft to somewhat help him more than what has actually played out. And in part, that's because of COVID, because they didn't have preseason, because they didn't have joint practices, because they had no rookie camp. So I do think that's part of the story, but there is no denying that, again, overall, yes, this year they have a dearth of talent in some spots, but overall, when you look at it the past 20 years, I'd rather have that success than what Tampa might have in this one season.
And in just in particular to AB, this is a personal relationship with Tom Brady. That's a draw. But it's also Tom Brady, just like Leonard Fournette was cut and quickly signed with the Bucs. When you pull one of these quarterbacks, like the Chiefs have it right now, they're a draw. Russell Wilson is a draw.
Yep.
You had a Tom Brady draw for a long time that I think provided you an asset in the sort of recruitment of players. Right now, even if guys like Cam, and it's not the same. You don't have that high-flying quarterback or that elite quarterback that people are like, I want to go play in New England with Cam Newton.
Right.
That's not the reality right now. So they have that recruiting benefit that is Tom Brady right now. It just is what it is.
You know, there's one thing I will say is it kind of reminds you, when you talk about the quarterback position, it's somewhat of that NBA feel. It's when you have somebody like LeBron who says, okay, I'm going to go to L.A., and the idea is a lot of other guys are going to want to join me in L.A. That's the same feel in the NFL, even though we look at the NFL as a much different league than the NBA. That part of it, that factor, it's there. It exists. If you have an elite quarterback, you have a great shot at bringing somebody in. Do you think Antonio Brown takes the minimum to go to, I don't know, Miami? I don't know the answer to that question, but I would guess that it's a no, right? So that is absolutely a factor in all of this. There's no denying it. But the old, you know, the Brady and Belichick thing, what I always say is, you know, Belichick, let's not forget, they drafted Brady. If it wasn't for Belichick, Brady would not have existed in the NFL. He would have gone undrafted. Who knows what team he ends up on?
Well, maybe. He might have been drafted. You never know.
Well,
mean, he went in the sixth round. There was another round, and it really wasn't Belichick. It was Dick Rabine who said, this is the guy we need to take.
My point is,
nobody likes to give Dick Rabine, the late, great Dick Rabine, credit.
No, he's gotten a lot of credit.
Not enough.
Okay, then. If you want to build a statue? Let's build a statue.
Yeah! He brought Tom Brady to New England.
My point is, though, is not only did you draft Brady, but you also kept an exorbitant amount of quarterbacks on your roster that year, which is unusual for Belichick in a usual year. And then you also helped develop him. So, you know, there is that part of the story as well. It wasn't like Brady was a first round pick and he was going to run away with this thing. So there's a lot of different factors in team building. I would say personally, I don't usually like the let's go out and get every talented guy and pay a bunch of money, because the history tells us that usually doesn't work. Like when you look at the Jets, oh, we're going to spend all this money on Le'Veon Bell. We're going to spend all of this money on CJ Mosley. It did nothing for them on either side of the football. Usually when teams spend big in free agency, it doesn't really work. So I would much rather focus on the draft and development and trying to build from the core to the out. And so, it's 1 year for Tampa. I'm definitely not pining for, you know, the last 20 years of Tampa versus the last 20 years of New England. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. He is Hart. I am Cattles. This is Sports Radio WEEI.
We're right back to Hart and Cattles on Boston Sports Station WEEI.
Bill in Framingham.
Let's go, Brick Wall Bill.
How are they able to sign your $30 million a year quarterback, have the three best wide receivers in football, sign Gronkowski for $10 million, sign all their draft picks, and get Antonio Brown with the New England Patriots, who have sold out every seat for the last 20 years, been to the Super Bowl 9 times and won 6 of them. They don't have a wide receiver. They don't have a tight end. And they're arguably, to me, probably the bottom 5 worst teams in the league right now. How does that happen?
That took an ugly turn. That took an ugly turn.
Bottom 5.
We can get to that list in a little while.
Yeah.
Bottom 5.
They're no lower than 7.
Bottom 5. That apparently fired up Phil in Rhode Island. So let me go to my home state's lovely little roadie. Let's go to Phil. Phil's angry at Bill in Framingham. Go ahead, Phil.
I can't even be angry. That's just, you know, idiotic. the reality is, like, you look at the season, we come down to the last play with Seattle, who, if you really look at the game, Seattle played as good as Seattle can play. They were incredible.
Whoa. Just real quick, Phil. I don't want to let the facts get in the way. Russell Wilson hit his tight end in the hands. It deflected through his hands, and Devin McCourty said, thank you, touchdown. So they didn't play as well as they could have played.
Yes, but if you look at that whole game, I mean, outside of one thing.
Outside of that touchdown, that's the only touchdown the Patriots have scored in a first quarter all year.
Yeah, well played, sir. But no, seriously, all right, we're right there at the last play of the game in Seattle. I mean, I still don't understand why they commit to the run on that when you had that nice little fake one step, see if they collapse, and then option to somebody who slides behind. But outside of the last play of that game, game scheme-wise, there we are with an impeccable game scheme against Kansas City, because that's what Bill does. Bill's the best scheming coach probably in the history of football. Teams with superior talent get out-schemed by Bill consistently.
Yep.
So the reality is no team ever that is coached by post first few years of his career, Bill Belichick, no team ever will be a bottom 5 team if it's coached by Bill Belichick, because the guy is a scheme master. He knows how to utilize talent or lack thereof. He still gets the most out of it. And I mean, as far as saying, you know, we're bottom 5, does the guy even have an understanding of who's in this league?
I don't think
the whole league.
Yeah, I don't think he does. Phil, thank you for the phone call, my man, representing, again, my home state of Rhode Island. I appreciate it.
No one cares that you're from Rhode Island.
I disagree with that. I think it's...
Not even I who went to school in Rhode Island.
Listen, it's not about me. It's about Rhode Island. It's not about me. It's about the state. Get out of my face, will
wee
you?
Wee little state.
Awful freaking hoodie you're wearing today.
Oh, it's a nice hoodie.
Oh, it's awful.
If one swoosh is good, 1,000 swooshes on a sweatshirt.
1,000 little swooshes.
Better.
And you got the backward visor going. You're ultimate hard-o heart today.
I am ready to roll. Well, I just got emboldened by that caller where he goes, well played, or whatever he said.
Well played, sir. Well played. All right, so let's... I do think there's something, though, about what Phil said. I feel like people are just jumping off of the Patriots' ship because of what happened against Denver. I feel like it's overwhelming now. Eamon, do you have that Teddy Bruschi comment on OMF earlier this week? If you can try to grab that. I know we weren't supposed to go to it right here, but if you can grab that and let me know, that'd be great.
Just dropping it on him. Prior planning prevents piss poor performance.
Oh, I get angry. Andy picks on me for being too planned out, and now I'm not planned out. Now he's getting angry.
Usually you're so structured that when you're not structured, it's even worse.
No, I've stopped doing that with you the last couple of weeks.
Oh, perfect. You've learned to be
nuts. Well, last week was different because you were gone, so that was a breath of fresh air.
Worse.
But anyway, I feel like people are jumping off this ship, and I think that's unfair. Like, I don't think this team is as bad as they looked against Denver last weekend. I don't think, you know, this passing offense and all that is as good as it looked against Seattle. I think the evidence is there that Seattle's pass defense sucks against everybody. If you're a quarterback, you're throwing a parade if you're facing Seattle that weekend.
Yep.
It's probably somewhere in the middle. I still think this team is what I thought it was going to be before the season kicked off. Remember, Andy, when we started talking about the Cam stuff in the summertime and we were getting ready for the football season, I had mentioned, like, it's going to take, to me, and Rhode Island doesn't suck, 207. to me, I was waiting, you know, 6 weeks or so into the season to evaluate what this offense was because of COVID, because of Cam jumping into the offense and all that kind of stuff. I said, I'm not going to make any grandiose judgments or evaluations of this offense before we get to week six or so. Here's the problem. COVID threw that off the rails. So with Cam not practicing for a couple of weeks, with this team practicing twice in 2 weeks, I think now that initial evaluation period of 6 weeks actually gets backed up for me to probably 8 weeks, which it sucks. And it might be too late for this offense to turn things around and all of that. But I think it's only fair to look at this and say it is still a growing situation with this offense, and you're trying to progress. You're trying to evolve. I still think this team is pretty much what we thought it was going to be. It is a run first team. It is a team that's going to be defined mostly by its defense. It is in a conference that's pretty thin. It's in a division that's even thinner. Is anybody concerned or freaking out about the Buffalo Bills after watching them the last 2 weeks? Is anybody freaking out about Miami, who just went to Tua after Fitzpatrick's been playing really well? Like, I still think this team is a 9-win team, maybe a 10-win team, and has a chance late in this season to make a run. Everybody's jumping off the ship like, oh man, the Denver game. Listen, there's no denying the offense against Denver was awful, but there's also no denying that their offensive line was in shambles. They hadn't practiced in a couple of weeks. Like, if you're taking that Denver game as the game to stick a pin in and say that's what this team is, I think that's entirely unfair.
Welcome to my Friday column on WEEI.com. That's exactly what I wrote. The Patriots are exactly who we thought they were. Now what? Like, I think we could all accept that. I think if you're a reasonable human being, they have the warts we thought they would have. Because a lot of these warts go all the way back to the spring. Like, they attempted to cover some of them with tight ends drafted and linebackers drafted, but we knew they were going to be thin on the defensive front. We knew their weapons were going to be, at best, a work in progress, at worst, sort of undermanned at both tight end and wide receiver. That's who they are. And in my opinion, I think you used the phrase writing them off.
Yeah.
And I don't know exactly how you characterize that, because the other part of my column was,
I'll tell you exactly how I see that, writing it off. I see people saying this is a 5-win team, a 6-win team. I see people saying this team has no chance to get to the playoffs. I see, the caller Bill in Framingham, this is a bottom 5. Like, I see some of that, and I think that's outrageous talk right now.
That's too much. But I have clearly decided, and I don't think it's really arguable, they're not a Super Bowl contender. I'm sorry, I can't say from what I've seen this year, and we can go through the Chiefs and the Seahawks and everything was close.
Unless they make additions, right? I mean, if they make a couple of additions.
Dramatic additions and multiples.
Okay.
Not just one, multiples.
Because, I had an S at the end of addition.
Yes, as long as there's S's there, we can I can be like Bruce Arians and say, this team is not a Super Bowl contender. They could make two trades, and I'll say, wow, this team looks like a Super Bowl contender to me. You know, things change. It happens. But right now, they're not a Super Bowl contender. They're also not the worst team in the league. As I joked in my column, that's called the Jets. That spot is taken, and you're somewhere in the middle. And your middling status will be decided by games like last week, like the Raiders game, like this game, because I also think the 49ers and Bills, these two key games you have coming up, I don't believe they're Super Bowl contenders. I think they've shown themselves that next tier. Playoff teams, whatever. But they're all middling teams.
Josh Allen has turned back into Josh Allen.
Sure. Or maybe not quite to that degree. But what he proved is when he plays the teams that are separating themselves, the Titans,
best of
the
best.
Chiefs, they're the good teams. Those are what I would call Super Bowl contenders.
Yes.
Now there's this big middle class in the NFL where you might make the playoffs, but because you're one of the 14, doesn't mean people really think you're contending for that number one spot of Super Bowl champion.
Right. This is a league that going into this week had 10 teams, almost a third of the league, went into this week with either one win or zero wins. So 10 teams, almost a third of this league going into week 7 had one or less win. So there's, like you're saying, there's that big chunk of like, just mediocrity, and then there's the tier that's above mediocrity, but probably slightly above mediocrity. And then you have, I think, 5 or 6 teams that are clearly separating themselves from the rest of the league. The Patriots are in that second pack, and I'm not surprised by that. It's what you and I talked about before the season kicked off. All I'm saying is I find it disingenuous to talk about this team being awful, one of the worst, using that Denver game as the litmus test. If you're using a game when a team has practiced twice in 2 weeks without the starting quarterback who just started playing in this offense, with an offensive line that had, what, 2 guys who were drafted in the 6th round or later, somebody who, you know, hadn't played, you know, a snap in actual football in a while. You had your 2 starters on the line were playing 2 different positions. Isaiah Wynn was playing guard. Tooney was playing at the center. If you're going off of that game, I think that's ridiculous. I think that's fraudulent. You have to take the big picture. You have to look at all 5 games and say they're probably not as good as they looked against Seattle, but they're not as bad as they looked against the Broncos last weekend.
Right. Look at you being open-minded and fair.
Look at me. Look at
it's because we're not talking Celtics. That's where you get emotional and unrealistic.
I don't want to slap
and
you.
And all those things. But that's the reality. And I have, I think I'm settling in because I was 8-8 to start the year. I was good 8-8 year turns into 10 wins. Bad 8-8 year turns into 6 wins. I'm still in that range because I am reactionary. I think I'm closer to passing on the passing game than you are. I'm ready to say if they can't run the ball and play defense, they can't win. I just don't see offense that can throw the ball.
I agree with that. They've got to, but I feel like we said that before the season.
Yes. So yes.
You know, this is my buddy Greg Bedard. Check out the podcast.
Don't.
Wow, Cattles beat you to it this time.
There's a better podcast. It's called The Off Day Podcast with Ryan Hannibal, where he defends himself against columns that he wrote on WEEI where people rip
him. That was funny. Don't. But Greg Bedard said this before the season started. I think we all feel this way, but his term was bully ball. Like, this offense has to play bully ball. They've got to attack you downhill. They've got to run. Look at the games, right? I mean, look at the outside of Seattle, which I do think is the anomaly because they're terrible pass defense. The Vegas game. The offense really started to figure itself out when they started to run the ball successfully. Kansas City, they figured it out and they moved the ball mostly because they were running the ball that night. If they can run the ball effectively, especially early, it makes them better. I do think there is room for improvement in this passing offense. I think we're putting a little bit too much on Cam too early based off of that Seattle game. I do think it can get better, But don't get it twisted. It's never going to be really good. It's never going to be one of those passing offenses where if you get down 10, 13 points, you feel like you can shoot yourself right back into that game. Again, I think Seattle is the anomaly when we talk about something like that. It is what it is, as Bill would say. This is a run first, defense first. You're going to have to win some ugly games. You want to be, you know, down by the most one possession and see what happens at the end of a game. Like, that's how I see this team. That's how I saw this team in July, in August, in September. It's how I see them on, what, Saturday, October 24th.
And it's very difficult to win at the highest level in the NFL playing that way. We've seen a lot of teams try.
It is.
But in the end, generally, you come up, even most recently, right? Like, the Ravens and the Titans came up short a year ago. Because a team like the Chiefs, with that passing game, can play poorly, not play their style of game, and all of a sudden they put up 21 points in the second half, they win the game. If you have to control the game, play from ahead of the chains, all those cliches, it's a hard way to win in the National Football League in the year 2020.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We stick with the Patriots. It's Hart and Cattle, Sports Radio WEEI.
Saturday calls for more sports talk, and we got it for you right here. Back to Hart and Cattle's on EEI.
Ah, a little Hendrix here. All along the watchtower, eh?
I love me some Hendrix.
Come on, you have to know Hendrix, Andy.
I mean, I know him, but like, I don't know it. Ed, name three Jimi Hendrix songs. I would probably not get one.
Are you kidding me?
That is pathetic.
Hold on. We're going to get back to the Patriots in a minute, but what you just said is one of the most unbelievable things I've heard anybody say. You could not name one Jimi Hendrix song?
I don't think so.
Take a guess.
Well, I just gave you one, first of all.
I wasn't barely listening, so I did.
But
had,
you
like,
reacted
words.
To it.
Wait. I know, because I didn't. But
you
I,
just heard me
like,
say
I
words
knew I didn't know it, so I ignored it while you were saying it.
What is even going on right now?
Yeah, I can't. American Woman. No, who sings that?
That's Lenny Kravitz.
Lenny Kravitz.
That was my God.
That is a disgrace.
He's a guitar player, right? Isn't he known for playing the guitar?
Yes.
I don't.
You're trying to.
Yeah, you're putting us on here, aren't
you? No, I don't know music.
All right, the text line.
I actually have noticed that.
I don't know music.
The text line should kill Andy Hart right now.
Why? Because I don't know music?
No.
Oh, it's going to be a hard-o music snob hour.
No. Hold on. I'm talking about.
Douches collect and come together against Andy.
I'm talking about Jimi Hendrix. I'm not talking about some absurd, obscure, freaking musical reference. This is literally one of the forefathers of, like, you know, classic rock and blues. And I mean, yeah,
you're speechless.
I'm stunned.
Can't be. You work in radio. You can't be speechless.
I get paid to say words, and I can't come up with any words regarding what you just said. Foxy Lady. You don't.
Foxy Lady. That's
there you
him.
Go.
Voodoo Child.
Voodoo What's Child. That? Crosstown that? Traffic.
Now you've no. Never heard of those. Oh, I mean, maybe God. Voodoo Child.
Oh,
this is Voodoo Child.
You know this because of wrestling.
Yeah, I was going to say.
This is Hulk Hogan, the
this
NWO
is NWO
years.
Hogan.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, see, I know that. I couldn't have named it, though. Right,
Hey Joe is one of my favorite Jimi Hendrix songs, by the way. Hey Joe's great.
I got
nothing. Oh, I wanted you to keep playing it, Eamon, when it kicks in. Right here. And that's when Hogan would come out for his entrance, and he'd be playing air guitar.
I got Tool 1 and Tool 2 in front of me doing air guitar.
I was not care.
One behind the glass and one on a big screen.
I don't care. I'm doing it right now. Look at this. Ah, I got my leg up. Look
with
at
your ugly ass Celtics jammies.
Footy pajamas.
They are. Did you see him? He's got green Celtics jammies on.
Not footy pajamas. I got sneakers on. Jimi Hendrix.
I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
See, these are the people I hate in the world.
No, listen.
Golf hardo snobs, gambling hardo snobs, music hardo snobs.
Hold on. You don't have to be a hardo music snob to talk about Jimi freaking Hendrix. Like, a hardo snob is like, if you make some obscure reference to music, I would understand you. But come on.
No, but if you played a song, I'd be like, oh, I like that song.
Purple haze. Purple haze. There's like 17,000 people texting in right now. Purple haze. You don't know the song Purple Haze?
I don't know. Play it for me, and maybe I'll tell you if I know it. Was that a wrestling intro or anything?
The 508 Lenny Kravitz only covers American Woman. Oh, trust me, I know, but I
don't. Don't trust me. I never know when it comes to music.
I figured Andy Hart was talking about the Lenny Kravitz version of it.
Who originated it? What's the original?
You know, I'm just...
Why do you get so angry?
I'm not angry.
You should teach me. If you feel I need this knowledge, you should share it and make me better.
All right, we're coming back, Jimi Hendrix, from every break for the rest of the show.
And I bet you I'll know by ear a lot of them. I just wouldn't have been able to sit down and, like, you know, blank sheet of paper, list a bunch of them or any of them.
The guess who is who did American Woman first.
You cheated. I think you looked that up.
No, 207 texted in.
Oh, okay.
And he says, come on, man.
Come on, man. You're like Belichick asking for a holding call.
When somebody says, I mean, somebody's texting in calling you un-American for not knowing any Jimi Hendrix. And I'm in agreement with that person, by the way. I feel like we have to stop everything that is happening on Earth in 2020 when my co-host says he doesn't know a single Jimi Hendrix song.
Come on, guys.
By name. I'm guaranteeing you I've heard them.
I just said title. I said song title.
Like, I can't list them.
Yeah, what are we doing? Exactly. What the hell are we doing?
What is wrong with it?
Hey Joe is one of the best songs in my eyes of, like, all time.
Okay. Never heard it or don't really know what it is.
Oh, my God. The Wind Cries Mary? Forget about it. Here, let's just get back to the Patriots.
It is, because I have nothing to offer.
You have nothing. I'm just looking at your blank stare.
Hey, it's Joe?
Wasn't Hey Jude
a Beatles song?
So you know the Beatles, but not Hendrix.
I don't really know the Beatles either, just so you know.
You knew more Beatles than you knew Hendrix. Anyway.
Sergeant Pepper or something?
Disgusting. Here's your homework assignment this week. Figure it out. Nope. Get a musical clue.
You want me to get a musical clue? Well, you'll just have to teach me. You and Eamon, every break, come back with a song, tell me the title, give me, you know, explanation of the lyrics. Break it down for me.
All right.
Otherwise, I'm going to go through life the way I always have. If I like music, I say I like that. I don't care what it's called or who sang it.
I feel like I need to run away from this topic like my ass is on fire. So, Hart and Cattle Sports Radio, WEEI on a Saturday. Let's go to, let me see. Who do you want to talk to, Andy? I'll leave it up to you. Which one of these fine callers do you want to talk to?
How about we go to, let's go to David. I want to talk to David.
All right, let's go to David in Florida. Hey, David.
Damn it, made the wrong pick. Hello, David?
Yes, good morning.
How are you, David? Yeah. What do you got for us today?
Good morning. Yeah. First of all, you rock and roll bozos.
It's not plural. Yeah, it's rock and roll bozo.
Only one bozo in this
Andy
room.
Andy Hart is the bozo.
Yeah, well, you're both bozos. You and your buddy Mutt. I don't know who, and you and Mutt should have some bozo battle of the bozos that they used to have on the morning show.
Yeah, I win that every Monday and Wednesday when I join Mutt's show. I just wipe the floor with them. So hi, maybe a bozo. I agree with it. I'm not arguing it, but I'm less of a bozo than Mutt. He is the bottom bozo.
Okay, I'll let him know you said that.
Okay.
And American Woman is a great song from one of the great groups of the late 60s, early 70s. Okay. Canadian group, the Guess Who.
All right, we're not doing music all day, David. Get your Patriots take.
Bozos. I got a quick question. You said a few minutes ago, and I think I remember, are there 14 teams in the playoffs this year?
Yes.
Instead of 12?
Seven in each conference, yes.
So what is it? So what? There's an extra wild card then, and what is it? The first number one seed gets a bye.
Yep,
that's it. Just the one seed. Just the one seed in each conference.
Luckily, you don't have to worry about that in New England. Not the one seed, and you might have to worry about the seven seed. you think about the Patriots' chances, David? Let's get to your
I think they're definitely a playoff team. I mean, yes, they had a miserable and ridiculous and inexplainable loss to Denver, but that was largely due to the lack of preparation they had because of COVID. Seattle is a very good team. They lost to Seattle. Kansas City is Kansas City. So, I mean, yes, I think that come December, they're going to be right there and 9, and they'll be like 10. They're going to finish up 10-6, 11-5 at the best.
Jeez, the record went up 2 wins in the middle of your sentence. You started at 9 and got them to 11 in your own sentence.
Well, no. Come December, I'll say come early December, they're going to be 8-5. Coming into December, or coming into some early December, and they'll be fine. I think
they'll be fine.
David,
thanks for the call, David.
Thank you for the phone call, David.
Oh, can we do? Let me just. I want to do a quick exercise.
Okay.
Chiefs are a playoff team, right?
Yes.
Ravens are a playoff team, right?
Yes.
The Titans are a playoff team, right?
Yes.
And the Steelers look like they've played themselves into that group of they're going to be a playoff team, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Probably, yes.
So that's four spots.
I mean, the Steelers are undefeated, but they've also played, so their schedule is like Cupcake City up until this weekend when they have Tennessee tomorrow.
But again, they played another sort of middling team. The Browns felt good about themselves until they played the Steelers.
Again, I think they're a playoff team. I'm just saying their undefeated record might be a little bit misleading, but yes, they're a playoff team.
And are the Bills a playoff team?
Probably.
Okay, so that's 5 playoff spots that are occupied.
Yeah.
You have 2 shots.
Yep.
That's what you've boiled it down to. Now, I'm not saying you can't even win the division. I'm just saying the Bills, for whatever people want to paint the Bills as, they made the playoffs a year ago, and they started out well this season. So I think they've kind of turned themselves into a playoff team.
They did, but to go to David's point about...
I don't know what his point was. I never heard his point. I wanted his point, and we never got there.
I was going to be fair. I'm going to get to... one of the things that he said that I
did you hear his record change from 9 wins to 11 wins in a sentence, in the middle of a sentence?
Well, I think he
it's not that easy to win in the NFL. You can't add 2 wins in your sentence.
I think what he's saying is to defend David, and I don't know David. I don't know why I'm defending him, but to defend him,
because he's your people.
I think he's saying he looks at this as probably a 9 win team, but if things go great, it would be an 11 win team, and I don't think that's far off. I actually
have things gone great so far.
No.
I think you missed opportunities for things to go great. You could have won in Seattle. You should have won in Kansas City. You should not lose to the Denver Broncos.
Can you check the thing, the little windy thing in the back of the Andy Hart toy right now? Can you wind him down?
Yeah, I'll wind him back up.
Okay.
No. He wants me wound down.
I'm too wound.
Yeah. He wants me unwound.
He got all fired up because of the Jimi Hendrix stuff.
I need to relax. I need some of Mark's weed. I need to wake and bake like they do in
Maine. To get to the no one knows who Mark is, that happened a while ago.
We have very loyal listeners.
And it was Mike.
And it was... Yeah, there you go.
That's the best point.
The call wasn't great enough for us to remember the name, quite frankly. I mean, sorry, Mike, but it is what it is. But to get back to David mentioning... when you look at the big picture of this team, it's a good point, right? I mean, they did play at Seattle. Seattle's one of, 3 undefeated teams that are left? And they had a chance to win that game. They had to go to Kansas City with all the circumstances they were dealt with on that weekend. And if it wasn't for Hoyer crapping his pants and Stidham throwing a couple picks, that was a good game. It was, 19-10 in the fourth quarter? That was a game that... could have easily went the other way if they had anybody that was better than Hoyer. So outside, again, I'm treating, as of right now, I'm treating the Denver game as the anomaly, the weird game given what was going on. If you look at how else they've played, they've been pretty good. They've been as good, if not maybe even slightly better than we thought they were going to be. So my only point is...
they're 2-3.
Did you think they were going to play Seattle as well as they did?
No. And that's my point. You gave away your opportunity to steal one that I think I didn't expect.
Now you're playing at both sides, though.
No. Yeah. No, that's how an 8-8 team gets to 10 wins. You win one that you weren't really sure you were going to win. Seattle and Kansas City were there for the taking,
but you didn't give them.
You say the Broncos throw it out because you have bought into Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick spent an entire week making excuses for a football team. Used to be we called this New England. Now we call it excuse land. Oh, I only got to practice twice the last 2 weeks. Rah, rah, rah. Everybody just absolutely lapped it up. This team loses games it's not supposed to, right, historically?
So we're not supposed to bring that up. We're not supposed to bring it up that they practiced twice in 2 weeks.
Well, we didn't used to.
That's not part of the story.
We didn't for 20 years.
No, hold on. We didn't for 20 years. Hold on. You might not have, but I've always brought stuff that up.
Bill didn't. And now Bill has led the charge
of. Hold on. Bill did not run to the media and say, oh, we only practiced twice in 2 weeks. What he said was, it's nice to be back to a normal routine.
He said, no. He started Sunday night. Immediately, we need to get on the practice field. If we could work together, we'd be better. That's what we need to do. He answered a N'Keal Harry question this week about needing the whole team to get back on the practice field. He gave that answer any chance he could for four straight days. And he used to. Can you get it, Amen? Because after the Chiefs game, you know what he said emphatically?
Andy.
We don't make excuses in New England, period.
Let
and then
know
he spent the next week making excuses.
We never make excuses.
There's no excuses. That was 1 week later, nothing but excuses.
Yeah, well, it was a big challenge. You know, playing without guys, getting guys hurt, moving around. Had some guys that, you know, haven't played together much, haven't practiced together much. We need to get on the field. We need to practice. We need to develop some continuity. Yeah, I think I just answered that right at the beginning. We need more time together. We need to practice together. We need to execute and, you know, do everything better. It's the same for everybody on the team. Nobody's practice. I mean, we all need to do more, practice more, and hopefully we'll be able to practice this week. We certainly need it.
I want to thank you for not interrupting Belichick when he was in the midst of his excuse making. Are you not going to talk anymore? Are you mad?
I just want to know when you're... No, I'm not mad. I just want to know when you're done.
Well, I'm done for now.
I've been preached at by you and others about how I talk too much sometimes on this show. You've gone about almost 15 straight minutes here. So I'm just wondering when you are going to be... Have you got it all out? Have you got all of your thoughts out yet? Or do you have another 5 minutes?
I always have endless thoughts.
He's looking forward. And yes, you can say it's excuse-making. You can say that he's just telling us what happened, what he's been dealing with. He's asked a question, and he's being asked what's going on, and did the lack of practice time affect the game? Again, okay... Whatever. Excuse making. He's talking about moving forward. He's saying we need the practice time to get better. We need this to happen moving forward to figure out what we are. That's what he's saying. My point is this, because you're going off of, you're moving the goalposts, and it's a fantastic job by you.
Hey, thanks.
My initial point, it wasn't about Belichick and excuse making and all of that. My point that drove you down that road was, did this team play better up until last week than we expected them to play? A simple question. Just answer a yes or a no. Did they play better than what we expected?
No, I mean, I would say they played how I expected. But yes, if you include the Seattle game, yes, they played better.
And Kansas City. Do you think they played better against Kansas City than you thought they would?
Not really. I think Kansas City played
given
worse
the circumstances,
than I thought they did.
Given the circumstances,
no,
you
I think that game was all about Kansas City. I think they said the Patriots have no chance to win this, and I think they lollygagged through the game.
Oh, okay.
I believe if Cam Newton shows up on a regular week, I think the Kansas City Chiefs would have wiped the field with you.
Did the Chiefs do the same thing against the Chargers when they went into overtime in that game? They said, oh, it's just the Chargers, no big deal. So we're not going to give any credit. Hold on. So we're not going to give any credit for the Patriots playing better than you expected. That's going to be on the other team. But when the Patriots don't
play as well as you expected. The Chiefs game.
So when the Patriots don't play as well as expected, it's completely on the Patriots. So it only depends on the Patriots if they don't play as well as you think they should. If they play better, then it's because of the other team. It's not because of the Patriots.
Generally, I analyze the Patriots. That's our job here. We cover the Patriots.
I understand that, but we fixate on them week to week. My point is this, Andy.
Were the Broncos well set up to dominate last week?
My point is
this,
Or did the Broncos
not have a single offensive weapon, and did they get their mediocre quarterback?
Can I get to my eventual point?
Please get to the eventual point.
Because you keep going in a different direction. You just told me that you talk about, oh, we analyze the Patriots, and they start analyzing the Broncos. My point is, if you analyze the Patriots, Andy, which is our job, to analyze this team, they played better against Seattle than expected. They played better against Kansas City than expected. You talk about excuse making. You just made an excuse. Kansas City didn't play as well. Blah-bitty, 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 blah. No, or the Patriots actually know how to defend Patrick Mahomes better than any team in the league because they've consistently done it at least for halves at a time.
I was going to say, not consistently, for halves.
Patrick Mahomes he's admitted that Bill Belichick is the toughest opponent that he's had.
Correct.
That's been a mental issue for him, right? So don't give me, oh, the only reason that they were close in that game is because Kansas City didn't no-show. That's disingenuous. That's fraudulent, Andy.
No, you can't tell me it's fraudulent if it's my opinion.
Well,
I think that game plays out different if Cam Newton shows up and it's a regular work week.
Hold on, again. You just told me that we don't make excuses, and then you make an excuse. You just told me.
No, I make excuses all the time. I'm talking about Bill Belichick.
You just told me.
The guy who for 20 years and the week earlier said no excuses, period. Right? I make excuses forever. That's what we do in talk radio. Right? Don't we analyze a guy's hurt, the travel, whatever.
I don't think it's an excuse. Breaking down a game and saying this is why a team didn't play as well, or this is, on the other side, this is why a team played great, those aren't excuses. It's breaking the game down. For an example, Rob Gronkowski in the Super Bowl against the Giants, he had a bad ankle. He was a decoy. Some people think that you can't bring that up because, they should have played better. No, he had a bad ankle. He was a pivotal, crucial part of that offense. If Rob Gronkowski is healthy, I believe that game is different at the end of the day. You can say that. That's not an excuse. That's breaking things down. When I look at the team, when I look at the Kansas City game, it's a simple thing. They played better than expected. When you look at Seattle, they played better than expected. The two games against the two best teams they've played this year, they played better than expected. Last week, they did not play as well, and they didn't play the way we expected them to play, right? So with that in mind, because Vegas was Vegas, they pretty much played like we expected them to run the football down their throat and win that game, although you thought it was going to be tight. I thought it was going to be a blowout. And you look back at Miami, first week of the season, whatever, divisional opponent. The overall point that began all of this back and forth before you moved the goalposts and started changing things was when you look at this schedule and you look at what this team has been, okay? When you look at what this team has been and how they've played, last week is the first time this year that they fell short of expectations. So I'm not going to sit here and say, this team stinks, this team's blah, blah. And I'm not going to sit here and disrespect. To me, it's disrespecting the team by saying the only reason why that game against Kansas City was close was because Kansas City didn't show up. Like, that's crap. That's utter crap, in my opinion. Your opinion. My opinion is that's ridiculous. You have to say that team has shown. We've seen the Patriots' defense against Kansas City's offense. We've seen them have success, relative success versus the rest of the league, right? When you look at Kansas City, that show, the up and down. We've seen Bill Belichick defend Mahomes better than anybody. So I don't think that was some flash in the pan. I don't think what happened a couple of weeks ago was just happenstance. It wasn't Kansas City didn't show up. No, it was the defense played well. So
you give the Broncos the same credit, right? They marched up and down the field against the New England Patriots defense, scored on 6 straight possessions. You give the Broncos credit. Not that the Patriots didn't show up. You give the Broncos credit. That was a great win for Drew Lock with no wide receivers. I want to make sure we're keeping everything balanced and level and equal here.
Yes.
Great win for Drew Lock on the road. Kicked ass, took names.
Yeah, it was a great win for Denver.
Okay.
As long as we're consistent.
Because I hear most people, including the head coach, saying, we just need to practice more. We need to practice more. We need to be on the field more.
Again, I don't care. Whatever.
You don't care what the head coach says?
It's a different conversation. You keep conflating conversations. We're talking about, you and I are talking about what we see from this team.
Yes.
And yes, Denver, that's a great win for Denver.
Okay.
But again, the statement of facts, as the text in from the 774, the statement of facts, that's all I'm telling you, is that last week, we have to be genuine in our evaluation of that game. In last week's game, when we talk about the offense sucking pond water, part of the story is the offensive line being ravaged and all over the place. That's not excuse making. That is evaluating what happened. Hey, Nick, what went wrong? The offensive line was a top 10 offensive line the first, 4 games of the season. They were one of the best offensive lines in all of football, according to Football Outsiders. Not me, but Football Outsiders, Pro Football Focus, all those analytical websites. They were one of the top 10 offensive lines in the game of football before last weekend. So when somebody asks me, if a listener or a texter asks me what went wrong, I then tell them, a major reason was not because the Denver front seven is one of the best front sevens in the game. No, it's because you had guys out of position. You had guys that were out of the game. That is why the offensive line struggled. That's what we're doing. That's
correct.
What our job is. So,
correct.
Yes, so it's a great win for Denver, but I'm also not going to look at that game and say, that was the Patriots offense you know, ready to go and clicking and all of that. I think we're still a couple of weeks away from seeing who Cam truly is in this offense.
Sure.
I've been consistent with that. So
yes.
I think it's fair.
I'm fine with all of that. I'm just not all that interested in it because that's what you do in talk radio. We've done for I'm more interested in the outlier of a head coach who has never done that or very, 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 very rarely done that over 20 years. In fact, they've sort of snapped at people who have done that over the years, given them excuses,
yeah,
suddenly choosing to do that. To me, that's strange. It's an outlier.
I don't disagree with that notion, but what I would say is this. This entire situation is strange. And if you're looking at it from Belichick, maybe he's just grasping at straws and excuse making, like you say, or maybe he's just tired and frustrated and pissed and looking at this and saying, yeah, we wanted a bigger locker room in Kansas City. They said no. They made us get on two planes, or they made us get on a plane. We decided to go two planes to fly to Kansas City less than 48 hours away from, you know, what happened with Cam. And so I think this is him. It could be a moment of, oh, guess what? You know, he's actually being honest and he's being upfront because he's just pissed. And his team played like garbage. And he knows why they played like garbage. He knows that it wasn't because, you know, they just woke up one day and said, oh, we're done. He knows the situation. So he's looking at it and saying, and yeah, you can say it's excuse making. I'm trying to tell you from his point of view, he's standing there and he's being asked, well, why was your team just totally out of sync? So he could handle it like he would usually handle it and say, well, we just got to figure it out. We got to coach better, play better.
Correct.
I think his frustration and his anger at the NFL and his, I think he's infuriated. I said this last week and about the league. I think he is infuriated with how all of this has been handled. And I think maybe for one moment, he flew off the handle a little bit, and he's saying, we just got to practice more. Like, we've got to get together and practice more. This what you saw today is not football. What we've had to do the last 2 weeks, that is not football. So if you're asking me what is wrong with the team, that's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you we have to practice. That's what's wrong with the team. And in my estimation, when Belichick says, we've got to coach better, and I know we've got to run, we've got to coach better, and we've got to play better, that's because Belichick knows there are no legitimate reasons for what just happened. That it is totally on him. It's totally on the team.
I think
in this situation, he's looking around and saying, I mean, we had two practices in 2 weeks. Like, if you want to know what we need to do better, we need to actually practice.
I think it's far more calculated than that. I think he needs to fluff his team up. I think he knows his team is a mediocre team where every win and loss is going to count. This isn't a team where he can just blow it off. We each need to play better. We'll be fine. He knows every one of these counts, and he wants to make sure they don't go in the tank, that there's reasons for why you just had your worst game of the year. I think it was very calculated, and I think that's why it strayed from his usual course of action. Different year, different team, different circumstances. It's very Parcellian. Very Parcellian in that when your team is down, they know they're down. You need to lift them up. When your team is really good, sometimes you need to break them down. I think he's fluffing his team up this week and giving them that confidence coming out of that loss that you're never going to play a game like that again where you don't practice. I promise you that.
Hart and Cattle, Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.